talking with different people who've known him, actually people who were African American. There was a woman with two children that she had a 14-year-old son, 13-year-old daughter, who George mentored and spent time with, and she had good things to say. And I asked, was he a racist? And she says, no. Does he use racial slurs? She said, no. But would you come forward and speak for him? And she would like to, but she's fearful of retribution, and I don't know if she's ever going to be able to come forward or not, because I don't know what the cost to her is going to be if she does put her name out there. So, and I spoke to another friend of his that was African American who said, you know, when I was sick, he would come by and spend time with me when everybody else wasn't, and then as he recovered, you know, they became friends and worked. I forget what kind of job it was. And I asked him again, is he a racist? He said, no. I said, does he use racial slurs? And he said, no. But again, as far as coming forward, there's so much backlash from the community, from anyone who comes forward to speak on behalf of George Zimmerman, that people are afraid to. So this is not a race issue. Whatever transpired that evening, I think, will show that Trayvon Martin was the aggressor and that George Zimmerman was acting in self-defense. And we need to get back to let law enforcement do their job. Let the court system do its job. Let's get all the information out there in a legal way, not just some of the things that just come out in blurbs. There are legal requirements of what's admissible evidence and what isn't. And when it comes down to that, we'll see the facts through the legal perspective, and we'll see what happened.